Tonight you might be standing thinking, wow, what in the world is Jake teaching on? Or talking on? Tonight, we're really, the new ninth graders have come up. We're going to talk about really, why do we have student focus? What's the goal of it? What's the objective of it? What do we want to accomplish as we're here day in and day out? Now, if you're sitting there looking at your clock saying, Jake's got to finish at 8:05, forget it. It's like 7:50 or something like that. There's no accountability group tonight, so just get that thought out of your mind right now. What I want to do is I just want to tell you about a story in my life real quick. I find it quite humorous. I don't know if you will find it as humorous as I did. But I didn't hear what you said, so. When I was in Colorado for 3 months, I have lots and lots of stories. And there's this one time I worked with a guy, or not worked with, I just had a lot of fun with a guy named Steve Tuck. We did a lot of fun stuff together. Like the first time I got there and we had a home Bible study, the first thing he said, Jake, let's go. I have to do horse surgery tonight. And so I went and we did surgery on a horse. It's kind of gross. So basically the horse got stuck in the fence and cut his leg all up. This is in Colorado, a long time ago. Well, 2003. But that's not the story I want to tell you. It kept going on from there for more and more stories. One time he called me, and just, you got to picture this. This guy is like in his 50s or in his young 60s. I go there, I'm 18. So I don't want to get shown up at all. I want to just do everything that he can do. I want to just, you know, I'm coming from the city and he's in the country. I'm not going to admit I can't do something. So I get there and he calls me one night. He says, Jake, you want to go horseback riding tomorrow morning? I said, great, I would love to. Now you have to know up front, I don't like horses. I mean, I enjoy riding horses. No, listen, I enjoy riding horses, but horses are a big animal. And they're bigger than I am, and they can do a lot of damage to me. They intimidate me. So, just put that out there up front, and you might understand the story a little bit better. We're driving up to where the horses are, the stable, and so we get up to a pasture, and he says, Jake, there's like four horses up there, and there's one up there, and he pointed out, and he told me the color, and those horse colors and stuff, that's a foreign language. I didn't know what the heck they're talking about. But me, I said, oh yeah, absolutely, no problem. You know what you're talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about, Jake? I can figure it out, no problem. So I thought he was just going to stay down there and like watch me go try to get this horse and lead it down there to go horseback riding on, right? He says, Jake, I'll be back in a while. I got to go get my horse way down to another stable and ride it up here. And he's like, it's only going to take you like 5 minutes or 10 minutes to get the horse. So we walk around to the back of his truck and he pulls something out and he goes, here, this is what you use to put on the horse to lead him down here. And he goes, here's a bridle. He goes, do you know how to do it? Me being a city boy, I said, oh, absolutely, I'm sure I can figure it out. It's a bad way to start off with a story like this, but I did. And so he showed me the pasture. I said, all right, no problem, Steve. I can do it, not a problem at all. I'll be happy to do it. So he leaves, and there I stand, and there I look. And I look at beautiful pasture. There's deer all over. There's the horses all over. I jump over the fence. I head up there. I'm walking up there thinking, I have no idea how I'm going to catch this horse. They're faster than I am. This is before the accident, so I could actually run. Way faster than I am, even when I could run. No way, I didn't stand a chance. I was like, I can try to hide from them, and I hope they walk by, and I try to put it on their head. And that wouldn't work. And so I just kept walking up there thinking, okay, I got to try. You know, I'm a city boy, going to prove that I can do something that somebody who lives in the country can do. So I walk up there, I'm walking up to the field, and all of a sudden, all four of these horses come 90 to nothing straight at me. I'm looking at these horses going, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going to happen. I hope they don't run me over and kill me. I just got here. I was like, I was so scared. I was thinking, if I turn and run, I'm too slow. I can't outrun them. And so I just like stopped and stood still and closed my eyes. And I kind of open up one eye a little bit every once in a while. Those horses are still coming, 90 to nothing. I think, oh, please slow down. Please, at least make it not hurt so bad. Wake up. They're not stopping. Well, all of a sudden, like 6 inches to a foot before they hit me, they stop. I mean, they put the brakes on. And so I'm standing there. I'm looking at these horses, and I reach out to touch them, and I pet the horse, and the horse jumps, and I jump. They run, I run. They're not getting anywhere. I'm thinking, oh, man, now what do I got to do? So then I go up there again trying to catch them. Now they're just scared of me, and I'm scared of them. And so we're, like, following each other around the field. And so I got to one, and I'm trying to figure out how to put this bridle on this horse. I'm like, okay, this has got to go in its mouth. thinking about the horse almost bites me. I'm like, oh man, that's not going to be good. So I keep trying. Just about got it on, and I look down, and there's this stranger, some guy standing down at the fence, and just look like glaring at me. And I'm going, oh, I hope it's in his horse. And so that horse ended up getting away. And so I walked down there to him. And he said, what are you doing? I said, Steve Tuck. You know him, right? He goes, yeah. I said, most of these horses are his, and I'm supposed to get one of them, and we're supposed to go horseback riding. And he was kind of offended at first, and I kind of explained myself and kept doing it. And I just said, I'm from Texas. Dallas, Fort Worth area, all I got to know. And so he looks at me and goes, well, your first problem is you're catching a horse that's not trained. You need to catch the other one. Man, I was pretty impressed that I almost caught a horse that wasn't trained. So back up I go to try to catch the right horse. And he tells me again the color of the horse. They all look the same color to me. I can't tell the difference. It's not white and black. They're all like shades of brown, and one's this color and one's... So I go back up there and I'm going. Turns out like 45 minutes to an hour, I'm up there running around trying to catch these stupid horses. And all of a sudden, here comes Steve Tuck riding up on his horse, just cracking up. And I go down and I look at him, and he looks at me, and he's like, I'm just sweating like crazy. I'm like, I failed. I tried. I did everything I could. I said, they came at me. I touched them. They jumped. I jumped. We both ran, and it was just downhill from there. And so he took the bridle, went up there, had the horse within like 3 minutes. I was like, oh, man. This story does kind of have a relation to what we're going to talk about tonight. It really does. I'm getting there. I was presented with a task, right? He said, Jake, I want you to take this bridle and go up there and catch that horse and lead that horse down here so that you can go horseback riding on a horse and I have to walk the whole way. So he told me to do something. My focus was to be on getting that horse. That's the one thing that I had to do. And what happened? Those horses came at me 90 to nothing. They stopped. I reached out to touch them. They jumped. I jumped. We both ran. I was distracted. I lost my focus of what I was trying to do because at that point, I was filled with fear. I was like, oh my goodness, what do I do now? You know, I lost my focus of what it's supposed to be. In the same way, it applies to us in a spiritual way. We're really going to talk about, like I said, student focus. Why do we come to student focus? Why do we have student focus on Wednesday night? What's the objective? We come on Sundays and we hear the Word of God taught. And we may walk away from Sunday and say, hey, I'm going to put that into practice on Monday or Tuesday or all next week. And you get home Sunday night and you go to sleep and you get up Monday. And sometimes maybe if your weeks are like mine, the beginning of the weeks are usually fairly crazy, fairly busy. You may become distracted. You may lose your focus. It's called student focus. Focus. Focus on the Word of God. Between Sunday and Wednesday, we learn something. Then by Monday afternoon or by Tuesday afternoon, we usually or occasionally just forget what we learned. It's true for me. I assume it's true for most of you guys as well. Things just come up. Things happen. Question for you. What things have you encountered or what things happen or have happened at the beginning of the week that cause you to lose your focus or to become distracted from what you learned on Sunday? What distracts you at the beginning of the week from what you learned on Sunday? Michael? Work. Why work? Why would work distract you? You can answer. Anybody else can answer that. We can just go on. Josh? Stressful. My job's not stressful. I love my job. Yeah, right. My job is not that much of a joy to me, but that's another story. Lauren? School? Why school? Teachers give you a lot of work. You have to do a lot of studying. What else? What else distracts you? What else distracts you from what you learned on Sunday? That's it? School and work distract you? Andrew? Annoying people who you meet during the week? Like me? No. All right. What else? What else might distract you? Caleb? Video games and TV, they can take the place of what you learned on Sunday. Randy, do you have one? Friends can distract you. Cody? Sports can distract you. Tyler? Food can distract you. Can distract you. Lots of things can distract us. You can become distracted by just things being hard. You're overwhelmed by your school schedule. You're overwhelmed by life. You're overwhelmed with what's going on in your life currently. Maybe some of you are seniors. You're overwhelmed by making the decision of where I'm going to go to college. What am I going to do with my life? What's happening from here? Maybe you get distracted by your friends. Maybe you're distracted by your own selfishness, what you want and what you desire. Student focus is during the week so that you and I, or so that you guys have the opportunity to come and open the Word of God and be refreshed and be challenged by what it says. Our focus ultimately is to be on who? On Christ. It's supposed to be focused on serving Christ and by making a difference in this world, by living a life that brings honor and glory to Christ. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to talk about really the term focus. What are we to be focused on? Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, I'm in the right chapter, the right book, I hope. Verse 1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Stop there for a second. When a runner runs a race, does he run with weights on his legs? No? During a race, does he run with weights on his legs? No, he has to lay aside that encumbrance or that thing that maybe slows him down. When you're swimming laps, Teresa Anderson had me swimming laps with her for a while. When you go and you swim, you don't jump in that water with jeans and a sweatshirt on trying to swim 10 laps. It's going to take a very long time. You'll be very sore. Same way, those of you who play volleyball, you don't go out there and play volleyball in high heels, do you, girls? No, you get rid of those things. They're going to slow you down. They're going to cause you problems. Football players, you don't go out there and play football with flip-flops on, with high heels. No, you don't do that. You put those things aside, right? In the same way, it says in verse 1, it says, and let... lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Even as we come to the beginning of our weeks, as you come to Monday, as you come to Tuesday, are you distracted? Are you focused on something else? Are you focused on work? Are you focused on school? Are you overwhelmed by school? Is your focus taken off Christ? Hebrews 12:2, it tells us, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. That ought to be our goal and our objective, to always have our eyes on Jesus and what He has done. We ought to strive to live a life that brings honor and glory to Him. Just like a runner, he's not going to be distracted by things that have gone. When he's running that race, I think of Jonathan. He is a great runner. When he's running, most likely he's not thinking about what he just had for breakfast, right? He's focused on winning that race. When you guys are running, when you're doing whatever sport you're involved in, you're not focused on what happened 2 weeks ago. You're focused on what's happening presently. In the same way, we need to be focused on Christ presently all the time. He needs to be at the priority. He needs to be the focus of our life, of our attention. Student focus is a way that we can help you, or a way that we can help you and that we ourselves can be encouraged to have our focus right. To have our focus on Jesus Christ. Turn to Colossians chapter 3.
Chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." In verse 16, where it says, "richly dwell within you," let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Really what the idea of that is let the word of Christ richly influence you. Let the word of God richly impact you. Let the word of God transform your life. Let it change your life. Ooh, I fell over. Sorry. At the beginning, we talked about focus. Our focus is to be on Christ, who He's done. Just like my story about the horse. I was to be focused on getting that horse and bringing that horse down so we can go horseback riding. In the midst of it, things happened, things arose that distracted me. Took my focus off what it was supposed to be on at that point in time. In the same way, our focus is to be on Christ all of the time. And when our focus is on Christ all of the time, that's when we're going to let the Word of God influence us. That's when we're going to let the Word of God impact us. That's when we're going to let the Word of God transform and change our life. Every Wednesday, the Word of God is taught. There's something that you can go home with and you can apply it to our lives. All of us can do that. You got to put it into practice. You got to let it richly dwell within you. You got to let it influence your life. You got to let it transform your life. So on Wednesdays, we all have the choice. When we hear the Word of God taught, we can either take it to heart and we can let it influence us, let it change our life, or we can just disregard what the Word of God says and be selfish and self-consumed. James 1, you can turn if you want. James 1, verse 22. Verse 22, it says, "But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror." What that's saying and that that's referencing is that the Word of God, as we hear the Word of God, as we read the Word of God, as we study the Word of God, we are to be a doer of it. When we hear the Word of God on Wednesdays, when we hear the Word of God on Sundays, do you take what you learned and walk out and say, "Okay, I'm going to be a doer of that. I'm going to put that into practice. I'm going to let it work and change my life. I'm going to commit to doing this." Or in verse 23, it says, if you don't do that, then you're a hearer. You just hear it, it goes in one ear and right out the other. How does the Word of God impact you? How does the Word of God impact you? On Wednesday nights, it's called, what's it called? Yeah, I'm glad you guys all knew that one. It's called Student Focus. We talked about when you come on Wednesday, the objective is to get refocused. Refocused during a week that may be stressful, a week where lots of things come up, lots of distractions, lots of things want to take your focus off of Christ. You come Wednesday, you're refreshed in the Word of God and you're challenged to focus on Christ. And that you have the decision to let the Word of God dwell within you, let it influence you, let it change your life. That's up to us. But the first part of it is called student. When you hear the word student, what do you think of? Me? What else? Jared? A person underneath a teacher? What else? What does a student do? Okay. What else? What is a characteristic of a true student? Studies. They carry lots of heavy books. They study intensely, right? If you think of, as you guys have tests and stuff, hopefully you do a fair amount of studying, or you're just a very good test taker, one or the other. But you're dedicated to the book until you know what you need to know to pass the test. In the same way, that's what our commitment is to be to the Word of God. We're to be focused on Christ. You come Wednesday to be refocused, to hear the Word of God again and refresh your hearts and challenge you. then you're to be a student of the Word. The spiritual meaning of the word student means a commitment to the Word of God. Turn to 2 Timothy 2. Probably most of you guys will know this verse by heart. Second Timothy 2:15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." What does it mean to be diligent? What do you think of when you hear that word diligent? Hardworking? Andrew? Disciplined. Todd? Stays focused. He's disciplined. He's focused. He's hardworking. In that verse, it says, be diligent, work hard, be disciplined to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. How are we going to handle, how are we going to be able to accurately handle the word of truth or the word of God? Josh. Know it really well. And how are you going to know it really well? Yes, Kelsey. Oh, by studying it. Yes, in order for us to accurately handle the Word of God, we've got to read it, we've got to study it personally, but then you also hear it taught faithfully on Wednesdays and Sundays, where you can learn, and as you learn and as you study, you apply it to your life, then you become, you instill these biblical principles in your life. In order to accurately handle the Word of truth, the Word of God, we've got to personally study it. Hello? That's all right. All right. Turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. In verse 1, it says, "Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation." Wow. Just like when a newborn, I got a little more familiar with this, that's how it works. When they are hungry, what are they going to do? They're going to cry and they're going to scream and they're going to do whatever they have to wake you up. And my goodness, it can be loud. Oh my word. I can tell you some stories there. 3:30 this morning he was hungry. What they'll do is they will cry and they will do whatever they have to make it evident that they are hungry, that they want milk. That eagerness that a newborn has when they are hungry for the milk. They do whatever they have to make it evident. In the same way, you and I are to have that eagerness as a newborn has for their mother's milk. That's the eagerness that you and I are to have for the Word of God. Do you have that eagerness? Do I have that eagerness? I don't know. It's something to think about. We're to be a student. We're to be students of the Word of God. Be students personally and individually, and be students as you come and you hear the Word of God, take notes and put it into practice. Don't let it just go to your head. And be like, oh, I know this, I know that, I know that. And just bam, 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 rattle off tons of scriptures. But let it transform your life. Let it change your life. There's a lot more that student focus is about. Student focus, the main objective is its name, student focus. For you to become students of the Word of God, and then for you to be focused on the Word of God. You come in the middle of the week to be challenged by the Word of God. And to get the right mindset and to challenge to fix your eyes on Jesus, to focus on Him. But also, on Wednesday nights, there's a lot more that goes on. There's fellowship. Scripture says to stimulate one another unto love and good deeds, to fellowship together. Also on Wednesday nights, we sing and we worship the Lord. On Wednesday nights, all you guys know this, there's accountability groups. You have accountability group leaders who are there to meet with you week after week, day after day, to challenge you, to encourage you to read the Word of God, to be a student of the Word of God, to be there to pray for you, to pray with you. We're here for you. And we're here to have fun with you as well, but the Word of God is what takes the top priority. The challenge is to stay focused. As you go throughout the summer, as you go throughout the next year, as you come on Wednesdays, I hope and I pray that you don't lose that focus of what Wednesdays is about. Wednesdays is great. It's great to come see your friends and have fun and fellowship together. But ultimately, it's to get focused on Christ. To refocus. Just to be encouraged by the Word of God. I lost my place. The challenge is simple. Be a student of the Word of God and focus on Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are a great and an awesome God. Lord, we thank You for who You are, and we thank You for what You've done in Your life and in our lives. Lord, we thank You that You sent Your Son to die on the cross and take the penalty that we deserve as wretched sinners. Lord, we thank You for the ability that we have to come on Wednesdays and just refocus on the Word of God and refocus on what our lives need to be characterized by. Lord, as we talked briefly about being a student of the Word, I just pray that we'd be students of it even as we hear it taught week after week, even as we study it personally. I pray that it'd be our personal commitments to continue to read and to study it so that we can accurately handle the Word of God. We just ask that You bless our time together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.